Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We have come to a Friday, the end of the broadcast week, and we have assembled our four soundbites for your consideration. You vote for Soundbite of the Week by giving us a call live this Friday afternoon, January the 18th, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can also vote by sending us an email right here in the studio in real time, talkback at issuesetc.org. Remember, we need to know who you are, which one you're voting for, and most especially, why you're voting for that soundbite. You can send us your vote via Twitter at issuesetc, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We're giving away the LPR bundle package. That's a Luther Rose medallion, courtesy of Ad Crusum, the I Have Issues t-shirt, and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad to the listener with the best vote for Soundbite of the Week. Soundbite of the Week number one comes from Rebecca Curtis. Here she is explaining why we will never see a commercial like that Gillette commercial on toxic femininity.
It is because women do not sin. Women don't do any of those bad things that men do. They are constant victims. You tell me, what are the sins women have? You don't have to do that. It puts you on the spot. But I'll tell you what women's sins are. Number one, not knowing how beautiful you are. That's what the Dove Campaign for Beauty was about. Number two, not taking time for yourself. Number three, giving too much. These are women's sins. You cannot criticize women at all. This is what feminism has really accomplished, I think, best within the church. It is so easy to get up and rail about all the bad things men do and all the changes they need to make and all the better ways they need to do things and everything they need to be taught to understand how bad they are so they can start being better. But, oh my goodness, if you begin to say that women do anything wrong, you will never hear the end of it. You are a misogynist. You are the person who hates women. You have to be silenced. Women have gone through so much. How dare you criticize women? Think of all the sacrifices they make and everything they do for all the people around them. The only women's sins are not taking care of themselves. So you will never see a commercial like that. Not allowed. Anathema to criticize women.
That's soundbite number one, Rebecca Curtis, why we'll never see a commercial on toxic femininity. If you want to vote for it, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us that email with your vote, talkback at issuesetc.org, your tweet at issuesetc, or at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Here's soundbite number two. It comes from Alec Berenson. We're talking with him about the legalization of marijuana. Should pot be legal because so many people use it safely?
Look, plenty of people use alcohol in that way too, right? They have a drink at home, at dinner, you know, maybe they have a drink on a special occasion. They don't have any problems with alcohol, right? But we know, anybody who's ever been to a bar at 9 p.m. and then again at 3 a.m. knows that alcohol disinhibits people and causes violence. And we know it causes drunk driving. We know it causes domestic violence. We know it's a problem, even though most people who use it don't have a problem with it. And I don't quite understand why marijuana users have such a hard time getting their heads around the idea that marijuana might be the same, that it might be a drug that, you know, many people can use casually, but that some people are going to get addicted to and have problems with, and some people are going to get addicted to and possibly not just get intoxicated, but get psychotic and then violent on.
That's soundbite number two, Alex Berenson. Should pot be legal because many use it safely? Vote for that one by giving us a call on this Friday afternoon, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Our email address right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. And our Twitter address at issuesetc. Here's soundbite number three. It comes from Pastor Ben Ball explaining why the early church, and really the church up until the 20th century, practiced closed communion.
They believe that they worshiped a holy God. They believe that he had given them holy and divine instructions. They did believe that those instructions were for the forgiveness of their sins. They didn't want anyone to be harmed or to receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ to their judgment. They wanted to make themselves to be this holy nation, a special people. They believed that. And in order for someone to be incorporated into that body of Christ gathered there, they wanted people to be properly instructed, taught, to be confessing with them. There was nothing more holy to them than God's word and then the Blessed Sacrament. And so they did not want that to be profaned. Now that takes a lot of guts to live that way and to practice that way, but it's just simply Jesus' way. And so they were willing to do it. Even like Dr. Murray said, to exclude people from the building. Our Lutheran confessions even reference this, what Chrysostom did. It's in our Augsburg Confession, Article 25, which says, quoting Chrysostom, the priest stands daily at the altar inviting some to communion and keeping back others. You know, so closed communion, it's a biblical practice. It also is a confessional practice. I mean, our confessions refer to it, that this is just simply what the church has always done. And they've done it for those who haven't been instructed, but even as we know from church history, at the Great Schism between East and West, when the doctrinal differences could not be resolved and about papal authority, for example, that meant that the churches of East and West could no longer commune with each other because they took their doctrine seriously.
That's soundbite number three, Pastor Ben Ball, on why the early church practiced closed communion. Vote for that one. Just give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, or send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc, or you can also vote at our Facebook fan page. We've left space for you to do so. Facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Get ready to vote. Here is soundbite number four, and after that, we will take a break and take your votes. Soundbite number four is Pastor Peter Bender on why the Eighth Commandment against false witness is so very difficult.
It is the most quickly, outwardly manifested sin against the second table of the law. When it comes to the Eighth Commandment, we are using our mouth more than anything else throughout the day, more than any other member. And no wonder then the outward sins against the Eighth Commandment are so easily fallen into and readily apparent. But they're so readily apparent that we do what all sinners like to do, and that is justify our words, justify our gossip, justify our slander. Of course I have the right to speak this way because it is the truth. And the second reason that I would cite is that the mouth and words goes to the fundamental basis of how we were created and constituted by God in the first place. God said, and it was so. We were created by the divine word. And in our words with one another, that's how we first engage in communion and discourse with one another. It's by words. So it only stands to reason then that the corruption of sin is manifest so pervasively and so evidently in words that we speak. The basis of false doctrine is where our word trumps God's word. Self-justification, our word trumps the judgment of God's law. When we make forgiveness the product of our own works and satisfactions before God rather than what Christ has done for us, again, our words trump the word of the gospel, God's word. And it's getting at, again, why is it that this commandment, more than any other, it seems, is so pervasive and so difficult for us and so easily stumbled into by all of us all of the time?
That's soundbite number four, Pastor Peter Bender, on why the Eighth Commandment is so difficult. It's time to vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, and this break is a great time to give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email with your vote, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet with your vote, @issuesetc, or to go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and vote for one of the four soundbites to be Soundbite of the Week. Will it be Rebecca Curtis on Why We'll Never See a Commercial on Toxic Femininity? Will it be Alex Berenson on Why Pot Shouldn't Be Legal Just Because People Use It Safely? Soundbite number three, Pastor Ben Ball on Why the Early Church Practiced Closed Communion, or Pastor Peter Bender on Why the Eighth Commandment Is So Difficult? You decide next. Several Issues Etc. regular guests are candidates for leadership positions in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has received nomination forms for the president and vice presidents of the synod. Please encourage your pastor and congregational leaders to fill out and return these nomination forms before February 20th of 2019. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. issuesetc.org/nominations.
The recent unprecedented decline in American Christianity has been well documented. But what can we as Lutherans do about it? This question is at the heart of the Lutheran Witness's January issue on missions and evangelism. Start to finish, readers will encounter faith, courage, conviction, and the assurance that, as Victor Raj puts it, in the church, ministry and mission always go together. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
I know what's wrong, and I'm going to give you the fact. You got the vote. Everybody needs to vote.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkham. We're playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've played our four soundbites. Now it is your turn. Your votes will decide which will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Vote by giving us a call, and phone call voters get to vote first. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Talkback@issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address. We'll get your votes right there in real time. You can send us a tweet @issuesetc or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. We are coming to you live this Friday afternoon, January the 18th. Your votes will decide which of these will be Soundbite of the Week. Soundbite number one, Rebecca Curtis, Why We'll Never See a Commercial on Toxic Femininity. Soundbite number two, Alex Berenson, Should Pot Be Legal Because Many Use It Safely? Soundbite number three, Pastor Ben Ball, Why the Early Church Practiced Closed Communion? Or soundbite number four, Pastor Peter Bender on Why the Eighth Commandment Is So Difficult. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Let's go first to Carrie in Idaho. Hi, Carrie.
Hi. I vote for Rebecca Curtis. When we take things to an absurdity, it often becomes its opposite. And when the feminist movement takes their message too far, then it begins to work against the best interest of women. A full-throated reading of Ephesians 5 is called for. Thank you.
Carrie, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Idaho. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Send us that tweet with your vote at issuesetc or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Rose in Collinsville, Illinois says, I vote for Pastor Ball. That would be why the early church practiced closed communion, because he preaches what he practices. That's a good way of putting it. Rose, thank you very much, and thanks for listening. Stephen listens in Nebraska. He says between 3 and 4 he's choosing, but he chooses 3 because more churches are wrong in their teaching about closed communion compared to their teaching about the 8th commandment. So he sees that as a good corrective to what many churches are doing in their communion practice. Stephen in Nebraska, thank you very much. Pat is voting for soundbite number 4, Pastor Peter Bender, why the 8th commandment is so difficult. Pat says, because James, the Apostle James, I presume, was right. Pat, thank you. Diane listens in Warren, Minnesota. Diane says, I am thankful for the series, Pastors and People, applying the Bible to the life of the church, and I vote for soundbite number 3 for Pastor Ball's soundbite. It's good to hear that since the ELCA has become so liberal, visitors are less likely to demand communion with children. God be with them when challenged in the narthex or altar through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Diane, thank you very much, and thanks for listening to those thoughts in Minnesota. Robert is in Texas. He's voting for soundbite number 3 on why the church practiced closed communion. He says, I'm glad this segment was done because the issue of closed communion can and sometimes does become contentious. Pastor Ball and Dr. Murray did a good job of explaining this topic and also how to be kind and caring in doing so. We don't get a pass on love thy neighbor just because we find ourselves in these sometimes heated discussions with others. Thank you very much, Robert, and thanks for listening in Texas. In Florida, Aaron says, a tough choice. My vote is for Pastor Ball, soundbite number 3. I recall the first time I set foot in a Lutheran Church, Missouri-centered church. I went to the communion rail, received the body, and a few minutes later, it was unceremoniously swept from my hand by the assistant pastor when it was obvious that I did not immediately consume it. A few moments later, 3 elders surrounded me like the mafioso and invited me to come to the adult education course. The delivery scared the heck out of me. Pastor Ball did a wonderful job of conveying the importance and the reason behind closed communion, but it's hard to deliver that in a concise way during the service, but I think it can be done. Well, thank you very much, Aaron. Thanks for listening in Florida and for that vote as well. Paula votes for soundbite number 3 as well, Pastor Ball, because, she says, a casual attitude to communion is exemplary of our whole culture's loss of fear and reverence for God and our responsibility to do things His way. Well put, Paula. Thanks for your vote. Well, according to your votes on this Friday afternoon, winner of Soundbite of the Week is Soundbite number 3, Pastor Ben Ball, on why the early church practiced closed communion.
They believe that they worshiped a holy God. They believe that he had given them holy and divine instructions. They did believe that those instructions were for the forgiveness of their sins. They didn't want anyone to be harmed or to receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ to their judgment. They wanted to make themselves to be this holy nation, a special people. They believe that. And in order for someone to be incorporated into that body of Christ gathered there, they wanted people to be properly instructed, taught, to be confessing with them. There was nothing more holy to them than God's word and then the Blessed Sacrament. And so they did not want that to be profaned. Now that takes a lot of guts to live that way and to practice that way, but it's just simply Jesus' way. And so they were willing to do it. Even like Dr. Murray said, to exclude people from the building. Our Lutheran confessions even reference this, what Chrysostom did. It's in our Augsburg Confession, Article 25, which says, quoting Chrysostom, the priest stands daily at the altar inviting some to communion and keeping back others. You know, so closed communion, it's a biblical practice. It also is a confessional practice. I mean, our confessions refer to it, that this is just simply what the church has always done. And they've done it for those who haven't been instructed, but even as we know from church history, at the Great Schism between East and West, when the doctrinal differences could not be resolved about papal authority, for example, That meant that the churches of East and West could no longer commune with each other because they took their doctrine seriously.
That's winner of Soundbite of the Week. It is Soundbite number 3, Pastor Ben Ball, on why the early church practiced closed communion. Paula, you're going to get the LPR bundle package if you'd send us your shirt size and mailing address, talkback@issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. book of the month for January is called The Christian Difference in Explanation and Comparison of World Religions. This is compendious, and by that I mean it's thorough. It treats these religions in their detail and does a fair job of comparing and contrasting them with Christianity. Find out more about The Christian Difference at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask for The Christian Difference. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Next week on Issues Etc., we'll discuss baptism and vocation with Dr. Ben Mays. We'll have Pastor David Peterson lead us in a teaching on the conversion of Paul. We'll talk with Pastor Peter Bender about the necessity of the divine service, and we'll continue our series on the book of Proverbs with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. It comes down to this. Is this meal, the Lord's Supper, holy or is it profane? Is it sacred or is it common? Is it Christ's supper, the Lord's Supper, or is it yours? And the answer to those questions determines whether we decide how to handle it or whether Christ decides. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.